Blog Talk Radio.
Aurelius, one of the last of the great Roman emperors. There was a movie starring Alec Guinness and Mel Ferrer called the Fall of the Roman Empire. It's based on Gibbons, the British historian's work, which is still the premier English interpretation of Roman history. And Marcus Aurelius, I believe, was poisoned. He was born on this day in the year 0121. The guy who was the first commander in chief of the U.S. Navy, it wasn't John Paul Jones or John Barry. It's a guy named Essex Hoskins, who was born in 1718. Don't hear too much about him. Probably one of the greatest French realist painters. He was inspired by Rubens, Ferdinand Eugène Delacroix, and on this blog talk, we have probably his most famous painting called The Pursuit of Liberty. Seems to be a lot of problems with the French and fighting, and that painting was done to signify the importance of the 1848 revolution when people around Europe, in Germany, France, were up in arms about the poor conditions they were living in, the abuses that they took, the heavy taxation. Bismarck had a role in resolving some of this or damping the revolutionary fervor in Prussia. And, of course, they made this was the end of the Bourbon monarchy in France. He brought in a descendant of the wild geese. These are the Irish who fled to France, and the guy named MacMahon, Marshal MacMahon, became the president of France. Another Irishman, a Frenchman of Irish descent, was Charles de Gaulle. but we'll get into that another day. In 1812, this is appropriate. A war started then. We had the birth of Alfred Krupp, the great monstrous German armament factory. They also were the biggest steel producers, and Krupp produced guns like Big Bertha, which shelled Paris during the First World War. If you've gone to Central Park in New York, also I think here in San Francisco, it's something to do with Golden Gate Park and also possibly Chicago. Anyway, excuse me, his models were used to set up public parks around the country. Frederick Law Olmsted, his birthday. And, of course, with all the problems we're having in Korea, the media is not reporting. It shows they don't do their history. The importance of Syngman Rhee, R-H-E-E. He was the first South Korean president. Some called him a dictator. He was born when Korea was under the boot of the Japanese. I think he was in prison. He finally was forced out, but he was the president of South Korea, because it was North Korea, during the Korean War. One of the great Austrian Jewish pianists families, and one of them, one of the Wittgensteins, was a pianist who lost his hand in World War I, and Ravel composed a piano concerto for the left hand. It was the only hand he had left. But Ludwig Wittgenstein was the great Austrian philosopher. Now, this man is important, Rudolf Hess. He was the number two man in the early Nazi period. You would see him in some of these Nazi rallies. After Hitler spoke, he would get up and do the Heil Hitler. And after the war, he fled to England. Not fled, but he flew to England. Some people said he fled in 1940, and it was said he was supposed to meet with Churchill. He landed in Scotland, was arrested and imprisoned for the rest of his life. In fact, he was one of the war criminals tried at Nuremberg, but he wasn't executed. He was sent to Spandau prison, and the Russians would never agree to let him go serve the rest of his time in a German prison. And so he died recently. I think one of his sons is still living. And when you hear the name I.M. Pei, the great Chinese architect who's done a lot of architecture around the United States, this is his name, what the I stands for, I-E-O-H, and M stands for Ming. How simple. Among the deaths today, Daniel Defoe, who wrote Robinson Crusoe, and of course, John Wilkes Booth. It's controversial as to whether he killed himself or he was shot by Boston Corbett. And of course, there are some people, there's some revisionist history that surfaced that claims that Booth did not shoot Lincoln, but Mary Lincoln carried a little pistol, as a lot of women did in those days, and she may have shot Lincoln. This is there's something in the National Archives about this, and it's certainly going to turn the history books upside down, inside out. One of the people connected to I.G. Farben, which were known as the Devil's Chemist, Farben was set up and run by people, Germans of Jewish descent, a guy named Karl Bosch, B-O-S-H also. You see Bosch Auto Parts offered around the world today. He died in 1940. And then the great Gypsy Rose Lee. Everything's coming up roses. She married, or she had an affair with Otto Preminger, the great Austrian Jewish movie producer and director. But his is her real name, Rose Louise Hovick, H-O-V-I-C-K. On this day, Count Basie, his first name was William. He died. Also, if you remember the California Highway Patrol and the more important movie, All the King's Men, based on the life of Huey Long, Broderick Crawford died on this day. His first name was William. And of all, here comes Lucy. Lucille Ball died on this day. Among the events today, excuse me, we had the first celebration of Easter in 1178. In 1607, the British established their first colony in Cape Henry, Virginia. Excuse me. And those of us who were concerned about medicine and inoculation, the first smallpox vaccine was developed in 1721. And this is important. The first Russian university was set up in Moscow in 1755. And in 1923, George VI, he was the younger brother, actually, of of Edward. He married a Scottish woman, Elizabeth Bowles Lyon, and of course it's now come out, and we've seen and hearing all these ads about erection malfunction. He apparently had a problem producing children, so it is now suspected that there was artificial insemination, that this Queen Elizabeth II, and of course her late sister Margaret. This is how they were conceived, through artificial conception. If this is true, that he had a problem in that area. He never wanted to be king, and he was very unhappy. He enjoyed being a father of two daughters, and this probably contributed to his early death. He died of cancer when he was, I think, in his very early 60s, in 1952. Let's see. Oh, yes. In Germany, 1933, Jews were barred from all the schools. That was the beginning of it. 1945, the great French World War I general, Marshal Henri Pétain, who betrayed his country, so he was accused of doing, he said he was trying to save what was left of France. Pétain was tried for treason for collaborating with the Nazis, and in their setting up the Vichy state in southern France. Let's see. In 1954, back to medicine, we have the nationwide test of the SOX vaccine. I vaguely remember that. In 1961, and you can see some of the pictures on our blog talk today, French paratroopers and revolt of the generals in Algiers. Now, France, Delacroix did go to Algeria, and he did a lot of painting of horses, of the North African scene. French had been there for 100 years, over 100 years, and the war cry was, Algeria is French. And the French who lived there, the Colons, or what the French, mainland French, called them, the Piednois, Blackfoot, because they were African Frenchmen. They wanted to keep Algeria French, and De Gaulle wanted to let them go their way, as he did with Vietnam. He did a double stripping of France of its last two troublesome colonies. So there was a revolt of the generals and the paratroopers, and this was one of the first instances in modern warfare where there was widespread military terrorism against the civilian population. And, of course, there were horrible atrocities on both sides. And, of course, the French are back in Africa fighting. They were in Chad with the French Foreign Legion in 1978. And they are, I think, in Mogadishu. I think that's what they call it today. And, of course, there seems to be no end of this these military expeditions. And maybe we just better let those people go their own way. And in 1981, we had the largest bank robbery in the United States. Was in Arizona. $32 million was stolen. While the nation and its media is focusing on the two Chechens who are accused of murdering or assassinating or killing all these people with those two bombs at the Boston Marathon, there's little attention paid to the unsolved murders of policemen here in San Francisco. Harold Hamilton, he was killed by a mysterious, we think it was a terrorist. They even tried to set a bomb at the church where he had his funeral, Roman Catholic Church. Richard Badisco, a famous San Francisco family, his partner was killed by a terrorist. They suspect that Bill Ayers may be involved because Ayers was here. I remember I was living in the Haight-Ashbury when Park Station, there was a terrorist attack there. And then Ingleside, I was living in that area when it's kind of strange when there was a terrorist attack there. There was a bomb scare at the San Francisco Opera House. Also during the Steve Nary case, there was a bomb scare in the men's toilet at the Hall of Justice. And none of these have been solved, or maybe they don't want to solve them. Now, another interesting thing, throughout since the assassination of Mahatma Gandhi, it's not very well known, and of course the facts are there, that the assassination was plotted and executed, bad word, by a guy who was a homosexual. And we don't know if he seduced the a young man who eventually shot Gandhi. In fact, there's a movie called 9 Hours to Rama, starring, of all people, Horst Buchholz, who was actually German. He played the assassin. But here in San Francisco and in Northern California, we had two cases of homosexual predators. One was Brian Hennessy, who tried to drug and rape a 17-year-old boy who fought back and killed him down in San Jose. This was about 16 years ago. Also, this Brian Hennessy was involved with illegal AK-47s up in Northern California, Sonoma County, and he's accused of raping even younger boys up there. There is a case of Juan Pifre, the Argentinian son of a banking family down there, who was in the United States illegally, concocted a bogus marriage to stay here. He was going to be deported. He supported terrorism against American military personnel, advisors, down in South America. So, you know, these are facts that are ignored or covered up by what they call the downstream press. But, you know, eventually these things get out because lives are damaged and people aren't going to take it anymore. Now, I had the Marcier, I promised to find it, and I still can't find it. And I know we have it here, and I'm going to try one more time. In the meantime, since we did have Caruso, he was here during the San Francisco earthquake, and he said he's never coming back to San Francisco to sing or do anything else. He packed up his bags the next day and got out. One of the issues that's just come up is about the use of the School of the Americas. Now, this is supposed to be a school set up by our Defense Department to train foreign military personnel. Now, I did an interview earlier with a legal immigrant from South America, and he talks about the use of these military personnel, our military personnel, down in South America. And this is the origin, incidentally, of the M13 gangs that have been terrorizing the United States. This is a brief excerpt from an interview I did with him.
I worked, how long were you in that military school?
The age of like 3 until the age of
3?
When I came here.
Yeah.
Basic, you start preschool and all that.
Oh.
I mean, but
do you have to wear a uniform or anything?
Just some simple, like, slacks, blue shirts, stuff like that.
Did they provide it? Was that provided by the school?
I mean, it's all part of what was somewhat given to you. I mean, it's better than sitting around doing nothing. I mean, because you're a kid in El Salvador. So, I mean, some kids go to work with their parents. Others have nothing to do.
Was there any liberal arts in the curriculum?
No, man.
So, did you do your art?
Not here. I didn't know about art.
Oh, I love it.
I didn't know what the fuck painting was that I created.
We won't edit that out.
Well, that was his brief interview on that. I did find Le Marcier, the original, since the work was composed for the French Revolution. And this week, we couldn't play it Monday, so we'll play it now.
Yes. The course avant traité to play the official version, not any arrangement. Right?
Thank you.
conductor, Pierre Monteux. He emigrated to the United States and became a citizen in 1940. Now, we have another clip. I think I'll play that. The origin of the M13 domestic terrorist gangs. And, again, this is this young man who emigrated illegally from the United States, from El Salvador to the United States. Here's his I'll replay this interview.
Okay, now, after you left the military school, what did you do?
Well, we left with my family literally because the war got too bad, and my parents didn't want me to go through any more hardship than had already happened, you know? So, my dad, who had already been here for, like, at least a few years, had sent some money back and just paid some people to get us all the way to Mexico and Texas. Mm. And then to San Isidro, and then L.A., and then we're... The rest of the money was paid off, and that's why I came here.
Now, the getting back to these throwaway kids. Now, they come up here from, they were trained like, they went to school like you did, and they come up here into the barrios in L.A. and
well,
Chicago.
This is my understanding of what happens. When I first came to this country, my family lived in L.A. You know, and I guess my dad was really so broke that we actually lived in Compton. Like, we didn't, like, I wasn't like your regular East L.A. Latino kid, which is why I don't have an accent, plus all the English I got taught when I was a kid. Because even if I speak Spanish, it's, like, completely different. It's, hola, ¿cómo estás, Billy?
Mine's lousy.
No, but it's like my Spanish voice and my English voice are entirely different.
People well, you mastered it. You'd be great. You'd be great in intelligence.
Oh, no, no. People have told me that. They're like, hola, ¿cómo estás? Yo me llamo Rosy. Hola, yo hago arte. But anyways, so I had a lot of friends that came out of the same neighborhoods we came out of. You know, we immigrated. People stayed together. People stay in touch. And we knew of other family members, you know, so-and-so's cousin that actually did go through full military training, or so-and-so's cousin that actually was there for the guerrilla side, and they also got military training and stuff. And what really happened is after a while, you had all these kids that were, like, bored in a really bad neighborhood, just odd opportunities to sell drugs and stuff, full military training, indoctrinated, because, I mean, you're told how to fight, you're never told why. You just have these skill sets. Crime is a rather easy pursuit, you know? It's very easy to make that jump to say...
So that's one of the reasons why they're so skilled with these high-powered weapons.
Yeah.
And
I mean, like, all these, like, roaming gangs, especially, like, MS-13, you know, coming out of, like, El Salvador and all this stuff, there's a reason why these people are...
Skilled.
Effective. Like what you said, you know, essentially effective is there is a military background due to the backlash of, you know, the U.S. sending troops to train kids.
So we're reaping what we've sown down there. In other words, I guess that's the word from the Bible.
Yeah, I guess.
Okay.
Now, that was from an artist I did some interviews with. And I thought it was appropriate to follow the other, since we are concerned about terrorism. At least everybody's focusing on Boston and of course, the allegations about New York being a possible target. Thank God that didn't happen. But terrorism didn't only happen in Boston. New York wasn't the only one that was targeted. San Francisco goes back to the very early 70s. And, of course, we did have Ayers and that whole crowd, the house that blew up, I think, in New York. In Chicago, the days of rage in which the sheriff of Cook County, a guy named Richard Elrod, decided to physically get involved, and he got into a scuffle and broke his spine. He was in a wheelchair, Richard Elrod from the Jewish family. So we've had terrorism. We have terrorists who are still walking free. And there are a lot of policemen, who are very unhappy about this situation, that these people haven't been brought to justice and think that they have political clout and protection. But eventually their karma will catch up to them, and when they're no longer useful, just like how the Russians deal with these situations, they use terrorists, they will get their comeuppance. So we're going to end with our usual politics and poker. We'll be back Monday. And I'm working on some other things. Also, go to our Amicus Veritas YouTube site, AmicusVeritas. And we have that episode in Trader Joe's in which this black racist made some very vulgar, foul-mouthed, aggressive. I'm glad he didn't have a gun. We're glad he didn't have a gun or a knife. But he went off at a Trader Joe's employee who happened to be white. And fortunately, he left. Black did, but it's interesting. How would this have been handled had it been Trader Joe's black employee of Trader Joe's and a white racist made these comments? So you turn it around. But these days, it seems that only certain groups can make these comments and get away with it. And if the shoe's on the other foot, bad pun, then it becomes a hate crime. And also, if you're traveling west. Megabus, we're going to do some more interviews on them because it's fascinating. For $1, for the first 5 people who make the reservation, and you pay a 50 cents reservation fee, for $1.50 you can go from Northern California, San Francisco, Sacramento, San Jose, to Los Angeles. And then they also have buses to Riverside and Sparks, Nevada. Megabus started, I'm told, in Europe, and of course they're all over back east, I'm told, and in parts of Canada. So if you want to save some money, it'd be great for people who are young people who are traveling. We were involved with the Hate X-Ray Switchboard many years ago, and we were going to set up a bus service, but it never happened. But anyway, that's history, but politics and poker still goes on.
What do you say, Ben? Want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bets.
Cost you 5. Tony, up to you.
Okay, Tony, what are you
going to
do?
I'm in.
So am I.
Mike,
me too. Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year. Big Ace.
Ace bets.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, where's the sound?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Here goes.
Possible straight, possible flush. Nothing.
Gentlemen, how about some names we can use? Some qualified Republican who's willing to lose.
How's it about we should make Jack Riley the guy?
Which Riley are you thinking of, Jack B or Jack Y?
I say neither one. I never even met him.
I say when you got a pair of Jack, bet up.
Politics and poker, shuffle up the cards and find the joker. Neither game's for children, neither game is rough. Decisions, decisions, like
who to pick,
how to play,
what to bet,
when to call up.
All right now, fellas, politics or poker, which is more important?
Parrot raise.
Bet 'em.
Little trade, good as gold.
I'll say.
Raise your 5.
I'll call.
I'll hold.
I'll raise your back.
I think you're...
Yeah, well, we're not bluffing. It's the end of the week. We'll be back Monday at 4 p.m. This is Peter Paul Brazilla. Again, go to our Amicus Veritas YouTube site, AmicusVeritas. Have a safe weekend and good night.